Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you with us today. You know, there's an old saying that says experience is the best teacher. And, you know, as you go through life, you have lots of experiences that shape your life. And as you move along, you hear the stories and experiences of other friends, classmates, maybe it's co-workers. And these listening to those experiences, I think, help to shape your life as well. We're going to be talking today with an author, Catherine Ketchum, who tells us that stories have the potential to teach us a whole lot. Her latest book is entitled Experiencing Spirituality. She's co-authored 60 nonfiction books on subjects ranging from, oh my goodness, addiction, recovery, empathy, traditional Chinese medicines. She's the founder and former executive director of Trilogy Recovery Community in Walla Walla, Washington. And it's a pleasure to have her with us by phone today. Kathy Ketchum, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Hello, Larry. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a great pleasure. I'm telling you, I have so much fun and I learned a few things reading your book. It's a pleasure.
It's wonderful to hear.
The book itself, and maybe you can talk about this yourself and maybe explain. The book itself has over, if I'm not mistaken, 200 stories.
Right.
And you've threaded them together and around the general framework, which is spirituality. Talk right. About spirituality. How people, you start right away by talking about spirituality and how it might be different or at least viewed differently by some people as opposed to religion.
Thank you for asking. That's a tough question. The first and deepest lesson of spirituality, I believe, is that we are here to help. We are here in order to connect to other people, to be part of other people's lives. It takes us away from that self-centered view that life is all about me, this is what I do, this is who I am. So I think the stories in our book convey the experience of understanding that we are here to help through our listening, through our forgiveness, through our tolerance, through our gratitude. And I think that ability to look beyond the self is so critical. We're so wrapped up in who we are, you know, what we're doing, you know, what our monthly paycheck is, and that spirituality takes us beyond that material world. So I hope that starts the conversation.
Yeah, it does for me. Yeah, and you have I love the way you talk about your book. You've rather than chapters, you have segments.
Yes. And yes. So the thought was, if you have a chapter, you read the first chapter, then you read the second chapter and the third, and they sort of follow each other. And Ernie and I realized that what we had to offer was something that you could just jump into at any point. So there might be a point in your life that you needed to talk about or think about confusion or listening or prayer. So we divided the book into those sections that you can just open it at any point. Or if you have a particular story that kind of grabs you, you know, I love that idea of opening a book and saying, whoa, I really like this, and then not feeling that you have to start at the beginning, you know, beginning to end.
Well, I tell you, I read your first, you sort of the foreword, and you explain that in your foreword, I thought, you know what? That's how I'm going to look at this book. So I did not go start in chapter one and go through the book that way. I just opened the book, and I opened it to the humor chapter. And oh, my goodness, I was laughing so hard. I thought, oh, this is a wonderful book.
So Larry, I have to ask you, was there a story in there that you really loved in the humor chapter? Or was there something that hit you?
Well, let me read one.
Okay.
I'm opening it up, and I've opened the book up, and here I'm on a page, and it's the humor section.
Okay.
And by the way, you mentioned in the beginning, well, a lot of these stories are old stories. They've been around forever. Most of these stories I've not heard, so I saw my head. But here's one. Let me read it. An Arab was walking through the Sahara Desert, desperate for water. When he saw someone far off in the distance and hoping to find water, he walked toward the image, only to find Jaime sitting at a card table with a bunch of ties laid out on it. And the Arab asked, "Please, I'm dying of thirst. Can I have some water?" And Jaime replied, "Well, I don't have any water, but why don't you buy a tie? Here's one that goes nicely with your robes." And the Arab says, "Well, I don't want a tie. I need water." Okay, don't buy a tie, but to show you what a nice guy I am, I'll tell you that over the hill, about 4 miles, is a nice restaurant. My brother owns it. Walk that way. They'll give you all the water you want." So the Arab thanked him, walked away toward the hill, and eventually disappeared. And several hours later, he comes crawling back to where Jaime was sitting behind the card table. And Jaime said, "I told you about 4 miles over that hill. Couldn't you find the restaurant?" And the Arab rasped, "I found it all right, but they wouldn't let me in without a tie."
I love that story. And here's another one I love. I think there's something about children that the stories that they tell, the stories that they're involved in, are both funny and poignant. And so here's a humor story. So the kids were lined up at the cafeteria of a Catholic school, and at the head of the table was a huge pile of apples. So the nun wrote a note and said, "Take only one. God is watching." So as they moved through the line to the other end of the table, they found a large pile of chocolate chip cookies. And a boy wrote a note, "Take all you want. God is watching the apples."
Well, so these are great. You know, these are what, and there are some other, I mean, I can sit here and read the whole book, but on the air, because there's so many good ones in the humor section. So now when you've got, in this particular, and I'll keep wanting to say chapter, but what in this particular segment, when would a person would open to this segment, when they probably need some humor or they want to learn? What would you say to that?
I think humor, that ability to laugh at ourselves, to laugh at the fact that we are put together funny. I love that term. We're put together funny. and that humor is part of being able to look at ourselves and to say, okay, we're not the best. We're not the greatest. We don't have all the answers, but that's okay, because there are people around us who are just falling on their faces left and right. And we can join that human race. I love that Chekhov quote. He says, "Any idiot can face a crisis. It's the day-to-day living that wears you out."
Yeah.
So humor, I don't know if you find this in your own life, Larry, but certainly in my life I find it. If I can't laugh at myself, I'm in big trouble.
believe me, I certainly agree with you on that, and understand what you're saying very, very well. And you mentioned Ernest, and when I introduced the you, I should have said your book, and the title again is Experiencing Spirituality, Finding Meaning Through Storytelling. And you wrote the book, put the book together along with Ernest Kurtz,
mm-hmm.
who, and you guys, you've collaborated on other books as well.
Yes, we wrote The Spirituality of Imperfection, started writing it back in the late 80s, 1980s, and published it in 1992, I think. And that book, you know, to be absolutely honest, and I know this sounds a little bit like a cliche, but it changed my life. Hit those stories that we told, and the teacher that I had through Ernie, he is, you know, I talk about him as if he still is here because he is for me. He died in January. So his wisdom is, and his understanding of spirituality is very unique, and it borrows from all sorts of people. It's not as if we ever in this life, you know, come up with something unique. There, one of my favorite quotes is Hugh Kerr, "All wisdom is plagiarism, only stupidity is original."
I saw that and laughed in your book.
Ernie was just, he was an amazing man. And he was a very, I have to tell you, he was a very difficult man to write a book with. he was a perfectionist, and he knew his subject better than anyone. So as a sort of new, a neophyte coming to this, I was like, okay, so tell me what the story means. And he would just thunder back at me, "I can't tell you what a story means. That's for you to find out." so he really taught me a lot about humility and just learning from a master. He was just an amazing human being.
Talking today with Catherine Ketchum. Kathy is the author, along with Ernest Kurtz, of Experiencing Spirituality, Finding Meaning Through Storytelling. Maybe you have an experience to share about how it's altered your life, or how maybe it got you through a period in your life. Love to hear from you again, or maybe just a question about the book itself. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or post your question, comment, or maybe your story on our Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mehler Show Facebook page and you can post right there. Love to hear from you. I'm Larry Mehler. Cheyenne Lentz, our on-air producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, visiting with Catherine Ketchum, a co-author of the new book, Experiencing Spirituality, Finding Meaning Through Storytelling. I'm certainly enjoying talking with her, and invite you to join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. And just in her contents, rather than, as she said earlier, rather than have what she calls chapters, she has segments on things like experience or wonder or community or listening or humor or memory or sin. And all of those, amidst those segments, are a number of stories or experiences that that people have related that relate to those segments. And so it's really a lot of fun. You know, as she said, you don't have to start a chapter or segment one and go right through to the end. You can pick the book up anywhere and read it that way, or maybe look for something in the book that relates to a kind of an experience you're having yourself. So call in 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. And let's take a call. Camille in Madison, thank you so much for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm enjoying your show, and it reminded me of what a friend says, which is sort of narcissistic about the word experience. And it goes, experience is what you get when you don't get what you want.
And you have a story or two, an experience or two, Catherine, in the book that kind of goes along with that, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, many of the stories have to do with wanting something that we don't get. And I'm trying to think, isn't this terrible? I'm trying to think of one of those stories. But that is part of the experience, is not being able to, wanting something, but not getting it. So I really like that, what the caller said.
I do too. Thanks a lot, Camille. Appreciate it.
Enjoying the show. Thanks, Larry.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, you know, as you, there in the chapter on experience, there is one place. Sometimes a lack of experience leads to, can lead to problems as well. As you point out in one story, on the first day of school, about mid-morning, the kindergarten teacher said, if anyone has to go to the bathroom, hold up two fingers. And then a little voice from the back of the room says, how is that going to help?
What's so wonderful about that story, and, you know, it sounds like just a humorous sort of tale, but really, it's he's inquiring about the human condition. So tell me, when I have to go, what should I do, you know? And connecting with the teacher, I think that's a wonderful story. It makes me laugh.
Oh, I love that story as well. You talk about how you put these stories together, but relate. Tell us how you put those stories together and how you chose those stories for the various segments of confusion or community or experience and so forth.
Well, we looked for stories that help us to see how we are connected with each other. So many of these stories are old. Some of them are newer. But the experience of spirituality is that we need each other, that we cannot go through this life without each other. So the stories that come up for us at every place and level, in every segment of the book, are stories about connecting with each other, about that need to go beyond who we are, beyond our own specific needs for, say, I don't know, a new kitchen or a new house or a new car, but that yearning, that deep yearning inside us that aches for some connection to another human being. And the idea is that yearning is exactly what we need. It's both the pain and the answer to the pain of being human.
Oh, talking with Kathy Ketchum about her book, the title of which is Experiencing Spirituality, Finding Meaning Through Storytelling. Again, you could join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and you can post your questions or your comments there. There are so many. Are there favorites that you have in the book, or is it not a good question?
favorite stories that I have.
Yeah, and yes. In terms of how they relate to the chapters, the segments themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ernie, these are some of Ernie's favorites as well. one of my favorites is a person died and stood before God. Now, we use the word God throughout the book as a symbol of a transcendent reality. It doesn't, you know, if you believe in God, that works. But if you believe that there's something beyond you, that beyond your ability to maybe even comprehend what it is, then that also works. So anyway, understand that about the word God when we use that.
Mm-hmm.
A person died and stood before God, and God asked, "Where are your wounds?" The person said, "What wounds? I have none." And God said, "Was there nothing worth fighting for?"
Oh.
So there, those kind of stories. I can tell you some more. There's a very knowledgeable, learned man asked the rabbi for a drug to attain to the sense of love. You know, how do I love God? And the rabbi said, "I will offer you a drug for the love of God." He said, "So great, give it to me." The love of one's fellow man. So I think all these stories point us not to that sort of height of enlightenment, like we have to walk up to the top of the mountaintop and that's where we experience spirituality. We experience spirituality in the depth of our confusion, of our despair, of our hopelessness, and through that sense of loss and fear and anguish, we know that we can only find help through each other, through our connections with other human beings.
Oh, very well said. I'm trying to think of a story or two that might go along with that, and with what you just said, sharing experiences. Well, there was a story about memory that I liked. That was kind of religious. There was a Catholic, a Baptist, and a Methodist decided to go fishing. They get in their boat, they push their way out to the middle of the lake, and the Catholic said, "Oh, I forgot my hat." So he gets up and gets out of the boat and walks across the water. He came back, and the Baptist said, "Oh, I forgot my fishing bait." So he got up and got out of the boat and walked across the water. And then he came back, and then the Methodist said, "I forgot the beer." So he gets up, gets out of the boat, and tries standing in the water, but he sinks. And about that time, the Baptist said, "Do you think it's time to tell him where the stepping stones are?"
Which is exactly the point, that this is an earthly spirituality, that anything that we want to achieve in this world, it is of this earth. It is we seek a transcendent reality, but really it is our relationship to our present moment, to each other, to the people we love, to the strangers who we meet on the street. That's, you know, so that story sort of pokes holes in our our sense that we can walk on water.
Oh, man. Well, you know, memory. There was another one, poignant one, I thought. The poet Rupert Brooke set out to travel. He was going to England, mm-hmm. or from England to America, and yeah. And everybody on the deck had someone there to see him or her off. Everybody except him. And he was feeling very lonely, watching the hugging and kissing and the goodbyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw a youngster and asked his name, and the boy said, "I'm William." And he said, "Would you like to earn a little money?" And, "Sure, what do I have to do?" "Just wave to me as I leave." And it said that money can't buy love, but for 6 shillings, young William waved to Rupert Brooke as the boat pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Some people smiled and some cried, some waved white handkerchiefs, And I had William, who waved at me with his red bandana for 6 shillings and kept me from feeling completely alone.
Oh, I love that story. And I love the fact that you picked that story, because it's not one that many people would sort of recognize as so poignant and meaningful, that we are alone in this world in so many ways. And when we reach out to other people and ask them to be part of our lives, they're so willing to do it. I mean, you know, even without money, but it doesn't matter if you pay somebody a couple shillings to wave at you, and that if that wave means something to you, if it makes you feel less alone in the world, you know, that's a beautiful thing.
And it was many, you know, one of the reasons that resonated with me was, as many years ago, I spent a year in the Caribbean, and I was working to help several countries, departments in several countries, do a better job of communicating with their citizenry, many of whom were not literate. So, you know, if you're going to teach or talk about nutrition and and health and so forth, you have to come up with ways to communicate that information other than sometimes the written word. So that was my job. And so I'm in places like Grenada and Montserrat and St. Lucia and St. Kitts Nevis and Trinidad and Tobago. And so I would often be in these places to work, but I would be staying at a hotel, and all I would see every day were, you know, people coming in. Usually they might be lovers, maybe they just are married, and I'm sitting in a restaurant by myself in the evenings, and who do I see but many, many, many people just enjoying each other, and I was by myself. And so I know exactly what Rupert Brooke did, and it caused me to say, you know, maybe go to the bar, buy somebody a drink, or just engage in conversation that way, to have my own friend to talk to.
It's that human connection that we crave, wouldn't you say, Larry?
Yeah.
That we just. By ourselves, and being alone is a wonderful thing. As a writer, I know that. As a radio personality, you know that, that you have to have those times alone. But if we don't connect to each other, if we don't have that human connection, we've missed it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Was another. Saying about wisdom, I'm trying to remember now where it fell. Here's one that I really liked, and it's not, it's one that I oh here we go. The country doctor celebrating for his wisdom, and a young man says, "How do you get wise?" And it said, "Weren't hard," said the doc. Said the doctor, "I've got good judgment." "Well, how do you get good judgment?" "That's easy. Good judgment comes from experience, and experience that comes from having bad judgment."
You know, and that reminds me of a story where someone went up to a monk, and he said, "So what do you do as a monk, you know, thinking this is not much of a life?" And the monk said, "Well, you know, we walk and we stumble, and somebody helps us up. And then somebody else walks along, and they stumble, and we help them up. That's pretty much what we do."
Yeah.
And I believe that sums up what we do as human beings in this world. Is we fall, we're imperfect, we make mistakes, and we seek forgiveness and tolerance. We learn all kinds of things about how to. But then when other people fall, we are there to help them up. That that's the critical piece, is that we're there for each other.
You know, as I was listening to you, and then also looking at the one chapter on wisdom in your book,
mm-hmm.
I was reminded, and I've looked and found this story of a poor, blind old man and his wife. They had no children. He had a hard life. Mm-hmm. Never complained. And then one day Elijah came to him and said, you know, you've had a hard life, never complain, so God will grant you one wish. And then the guy says, well, I'm blind, I'm poor, I don't have any children. How am I going to have one wish that will satisfy all my problems? So, I'll give you 24 hours. So he talks to his wife about it, and she smiles right away, says, I know exactly what you should wish for. And now you got to remember, he's blind, he's poor, and he's childless. And so here's the wish he came back with. He came back the next day and said, I wish to see my children eat off golden plates. See my children eat off golden plates. So his wish was granted. The man and his wife live happily for the rest of their days.
So how smart was he?
I love that story. And there was there's another story. Oh, there's you have a segment called Confusion,
mm-hmm.
which I liked a lot, mm-hmm. and this happens to be one that I've had heard before and laughed very hard the first time I heard it. It was a Sunday morning, and this is about confusion. The minister noticed that little Craig was staring up at the large plaque in the foyer of the church, and it was covered with names and small American flags mounted on either side. And the 10-year-old boy was staring at that plaque for some time. So the minister walked up and he stood beside the boy and he said, good morning, Craig. And the boy says, good morning, Reverend. And still looking at the plaque. And finally, the little boy said, Reverend Chestnut, what is this? And the Reverend says, well, son, it's a memorial to all the young men and women who died in the service. And they stood looking soberly at it. And finally, little Craig's voice is very audible when he asked, which service, the 9 o'clock or the 10:30?
Terrifying that must have been for him.
Oh, my.
Oh, there's a story, actually, that, yeah, it's not in the book, but about a young boy who is told that his sister needs a transplant, a blood transfusion, because she has a serious disease. And the boy is younger than his sister, and he thinks about it. And the doctor says, are you okay with this? And he says, yes. And so they hook him up to the machine, and he looks at the doctor, and he says, so when will I die?
Oh.
So he's willing to give his life to give all his blood to his sister. That's what he thought it was.
And you have a story, and I don't have it in front of me, and I don't remember the page. But there's another story, kind of along those lines of a man who is going with a blind woman.
With the eyes.
And if only I could see. And he said, maybe I shouldn't tell that story. Maybe I should save that story for listeners. It's kind of a heartfelt one.
Some of these stories are, you read them and you go, and I don't know, do you want me to tell that story?
Sure, go ahead. If you.
I don't have it in front of me, but basically, she's blind, and he says he wants to give her what he can, and so they can get married and be happily ever after, because she doesn't want to be blind. And so she gets this gift of someone has gifted her the eyes, and she gets the eyes, and then she sees her beloved, and she just realizes, oh boy, I don't know if this is the right guy for me. And so she leaves him, and he writes her a note, and he says, just take care of my eyes.
Yes.
So there, yeah, it's, you know, reminds me of that classic story about the, you know, the hair, I forget which was.
Oh, Henry's story.
Yes. And the thing about these stories, Larry, is they change us. We see ourselves in the story, and we see ourselves in the people in the story, and we know that we are like that. We know that that is also our story, and there is something about that transference of all those emotions that go into the story that lead us to the sense of we're connected, we're not alone, we have the same needs and wants and desires and fears. So,
well, how's the book doing, by the way?
I think it's doing well. You know, my co-author, I have to admit a little bit of upset with him because I love him so much. He died in January.
Yeah.
And without him, I don't know how things will go, but he taught me everything I know. He's the smartest, most brilliant man in the whole world, Ernie Kurtz. And I love and adore him, and he's still with me. So, but I think people are finding within the book what they need to find, you know, that, and I think that's why it's there. You know, maybe it's because people need to read a story about forgiveness or recovery or confusion or dark. I love the dark chapter. Who knows? But I know that the book changed my life. It absolutely changed my life. These stories come back to me. They're like little, I think of them as little winged things. Like they have wings and they come sit on my shoulder and they talk to me and they come out of the blue. You know, it might be a story that I wasn't particularly fond of. That does that, and it changes me. So,
well, it's I was so pleased that I've had the chance to read the book, and you know the nice thing about your book is one that I'm going to hang around and use it from time to time. You know, when I need a little inspiration, or when I need a good laugh. You know, what did Oscar Levant say? Happiness is not something you experience. It's what you remember.
Yeah.
And I'll always remember my interview with you, Kathy. Thank you so much.
Oh, Larry, thank you. What a wonderful thing to say. Thank you.
Well, it was a real pleasure, and I hope you sell a million copies.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Love it. you have yourself a wonderful rest of the day. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Take care, Larry.
Bye-bye. Catherine Ketchum, the author of the book we're just talking about, Experiencing Spirituality, Finding Meaning Through Storytelling. And there, I mean, we've talked about many of the stories today, but there are, we didn't talk about all of them, believe me. There are over 200 stories in this book. And it was a real pleasure to read it and to have a chance to talk with her. And I know it's going to be a pleasure to talk with our next guest coming up as well. She's the author of a new novel. It's called The Cherry Harvest. It's been getting rave reviews. I finished it a bit ago. Lucy Sanna joins us next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.